downstairs, Junior Church going down right now. And take your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Hallelujah. Getting a little touch, taste. We're going to have a revival, Lord willing. We got on the sign out there, "Will thou not revive us again?" We need it, man. We need it more and more every day we live. Philippians chapter 2. Woo! No need to doubt him now. Amen. Brother Eric did a good job over there at the Teen Sunday School. Pray for Michael Shane. Michael Shane's out there in Oklahoma right now. Talking to the family of Brittany. She'll be coming back here for our August meeting, so y'all pray for them. And pray for traveling mercies for him, and Lord be with him. All right, Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 12, I think it is, somewhere in there. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as my presence only. You know, you got people that they'll put on the show, they put on the dog, when long as the boss is around. But when the boss is gone, they play their games. And they think because Jesus Christ ain't here on this planet, they can just go ahead and play their games. It's not going to work that way. He's watching. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro, man. He's watching everything you do. He's watching everything you say. He's seeing all that stuff. So, man, the Lord's on the job. He's watching you. I had a boss that told me this. He said what he would do is he would leave the job, but he had binoculars. He'd go down the road and sit there and watch to see what the guys are doing. And a lot of guys like to stand around, talk, and drink coffee and smoke their cigarettes and all that stuff while the boss is gone. But I tell you what, he said to me, he said, "Man, I watched all y'all." He said, "I've seen that you didn't play. You went to work. You stayed working. You know what we ought to be doing as children of God? We ought to be working. Thank God for the workers that we have. If we didn't, we couldn't have Vacation Bible School without the workers we got. And thank God for them. Thank God for Miss Judy and Brother Jim working and doing the job. They're out here when nobody else is here. They're out here working. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's that work. That's a dirty four-letter word, work. People don't like that word, work. And you ought to be working, amen. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I believe in work, man. I believe. I mean, you know, the Christian life is a job. I mean, it really is. It's a job to stay right. It's a job and be able to witness and trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. It's how much more in my absence work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's not saying you're going to work to get saved. That's not saying that. Because the Bible says that you're already saved. These are people that are already saved. The church of Philippi, they were already saved. They're working out their salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. And the fear of the Lord begin understanding. You should have some fear of God in you. And if you don't, say, "Lord, put the fear of God in me. Put the fear of God in me." That's what the problem with people that have no fear of God. That's why they live like hell. And we don't want Christians. We got enough bad Christians out there right now. We need some good Christians. That's trying to do right. And they know the boss is watching. He's watching all the time. And Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want to be on the job. I want to be faithful on the job, serving the Lord and doing what it's supposed to when nobody else is around, when nobody else is watching. Some people won't serve God unless somebody else goes along with them. The test of your character is what it takes to make you quit, a preacher said one time. But when you're by yourself, that's who you really are. That's who you really are. If you don't like the way you are by yourself, say, "Lord, change me. I want to be different. I want to be different. I want to be a man." I told you about my nephew Chris one time. He got on the conviction about you know, wanting to stand on his own. And I rode down by the mall one day. I seen him stand out there in the middle of the aisle in the grass there. I don't think the Dover police let you do it anymore. But he was standing out there preaching by himself. He didn't call nobody, say, "Hey, you want to go do this? You want to go do that?" He didn't do that. He did it on his own. In the Christian life, most of the things that's done in the Christian life is going to be by yourself. It's going to be by yourself. And reading your Bible by yourself, praying by yourself. Nothing wrong with getting a bunch of people together, praying together. But I'll tell you what, most of it is going to be by yourself. And man, in the room by yourself. The Bible says, go into the closet and pray. Jesus said, you want to pray? Go in the closet and pray. Don't let nobody else know what's going on. Get a hold of God. And you know what God will do? He'll expose to the world, show them what you really are. I said this over in the Christian Sunday school, over in the teenage Sunday school. I said, I can spot a fake. I can spot a fake. I mean, you see some of them TV preachers, they're being exposed. They're a bunch of fakes, man. I can spot a fake. I can spot a fake Christian. And we used to have people come to church here. They say, oh, preacher, I really enjoyed that message. And then, you know, you see them during the week. They're cussing and drinking and carrying on. And you say, well, if they have that problem, what? Well, they ought to continue to grow. I tell people, keep coming to church. Continue to grow. Get in the Word of God. This is what's going to change you. This is what changed me. Reading the Word of God. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God can change the inner man.
Amen.
And then it changes the outer man.
Yeah.
It starts working on the inside. You got to let the Lord work on you. You got to let him do that. And I'm going to tell you something. Watching TV, listen to singing, it's not going to do all the changing. Singing will take you so far. I mean, gospel singing, it'll take you so far. But if you don't get some roots down inside you, man, you get some, I mean, get some foundation in you. I love singing. I walk around singing. I woke up this morning. Every morning I wake up, I got a song. But I tell you what, singing is not going to keep you on down the road. Getting in the Word of God is going to get the foundation stronger and stronger. It says, for it is God that worketh in you, both the will and to do of his good pleasure. It says, do all things without murmuring, disputing. It's God that's working in you. You know, we sing that song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and earth and Jupiter and Mars, and how loving and patient he must be. That's where a lot of Christians forget about God working on them. You got to let, when somebody gets saved, we got people on every level of the Christian walk. I mean, there's seven stages in a Christian's life. Seven, just like in the physical life. There's seven stages, and everybody's at a different level. And while I'm preaching here this morning, I'm preaching to babes in Christ. I'm preaching to adult Christian elders. I'm preaching to some others in between. I'm preaching to all different crowds. Everybody's got a different level. And man, you're supposed to be honoring God and growing on a daily basis and do things without disputing and murmuring. It says, it is God that worketh in you, both the will and do of his good pleasure. My brother said a little while ago, who you trust and all that, are you letting God work in you? Are you letting the Lord work in your life? Are you allowing him? You got to allow him. He's not going to force his way in. He's not going to say, let me in there, let me in there, let me in there. Let me in your heart, let me in your life. He's not going to do that. You're going to have to invite him.
Yeah,
the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, it says, he's standing at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him, sup with him, he with me. The Lord wants you to open the door. He wants you to make that first move. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You got, after you're saved, God expects you to make that move. That's what you're supposed to do. And if you don't, he's not going to force it. That's why we see so many shipwrecks, so many accident Christians that really don't do anything. They said, well, I'm saved. You think God's going to do everything for you after you're saved? He'll help you. He wants to partner with you. He wants you to grow. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. As far as I know, we didn't have no murmuring and disputing this week. I don't know. Maybe Brother Jim, Miss Judy might know. But as far as I know, we had no murmuring and disputing. Jim said it was the easiest one he ever had. We got an August meeting coming up. What we want to do is we want to win our community. We want to see people saved. We want to see the areas people come to know Jesus Christ. We want to see Christians coming back to him. It says that you may be blameless, harmless. You know what the qualifications for a pastor is? To be blameless. It says, then it's, as you say, well, that's for a pastor. No, that's for every Christian. Be blameless. Don't be known as a crook. When I mention your name, if I mention your name to somebody, they shouldn't say, oh, that guy goes to your church. God have mercy. I've had that happen. I mentioned people's name. They said, does he go to your church? I said, yeah. And they said, man, you know that what he did? You know what she did? And I said, I know. They're not sanctified. Brother Eric was preaching on sanctification this morning. And yeah, I said, well, they're not all sanctified, but they're saved. But what happens is Christians mention the name. It says, be blameless, harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Talking about the Jews, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, we sing that song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Are you letting your light shine? I mean, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. I mean, if the world was looking at you, could they see Jesus Christ? Would they see Jesus Christ in you? If that's the only Jesus Christ they'll ever see is you. When you say you're a Christian, That's the only Jesus Christ you ever see. I want to see my family saved. My dad saved. I want to see my mama saved. I was up and down like this, like a roller coaster. And finally, God got a hold of my heart, and I said, that's it. That's it. No more roller coaster. No more. I said, I'm going to try to get steady and be faithful. And what happens, a lot of Christians, they're just constantly on this roller coaster. And once what happened to you, you'll get sick and tired of it. I got sick and tired of it. You either go further out and say, that's it. I'm not going to try to go to church. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm not going to live for God. I'm just going to go further out. And you're going to put your light under a bushel. Or you'll say, I'm sick and tired of that life, and I'm going to let my light shine, and I'm going to get on a steady path of walking for Jesus Christ. I don't care what anybody thinks. I preached Brother Tony's dad's funeral this week. I preached Mr. Steele, Earl Steele, friend of mine. He got saved. Tony's dad got saved. They're both here this morning. And I preached the funeral, and we had three saved or four saved at Earl's funeral. We had three saved or more at Tony Skinner's dad. And what if those folks heard? What if those folks heard? This preacher's a crook. This preacher doesn't live for God. He says one thing, does another. He lives out in the world. He goes to the bars on Saturday night to drink, not to preach. Or he does this and he does that. What kind of effect would that happen on people? He puts other things before the Lord. He says he puts God first. You know, the Bible tells us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. So that can be done. Oh, yes, it can. If God said it, it can be done. And people got this idea that I can live one way on Sunday, and I live the rest of the way I want to live during the week. Well, you're going to stand before a holy, righteous God one day. I'm going to stand before a holy, righteous God. You said, well, he might forget about it by then. No, he's not going to forget about it. Your life is being recorded. When Thomas got up there and said, I won't believe unless I see, unless I can touch his side. As soon as Jesus walked in the room, didn't waste no time, he walked up, hey, Thomas, look here. He didn't waste no time. I don't want you, if you think you want to be a center of attention, God have mercy. I wouldn't want to be in the center of that attention. It says, look what it says. Being shining as lights in a world, holding forth the word of life. You've got the greatest news in all the world right here that you can give to your family, your friends. If you say, I love my friends. I had guys that was in the gang. I said I loved them, and I do. I called a guy this week, last week, and he said he's coming to the revival. This guy used to build race cars. We built race cars together. We ran race cars. He said, I called him up. And I said to him, I said, hey, man, his name's Ronnie. I said, Ronnie. He goes, man, I can't believe you called me. He said, man, Linda's in the car with me. And I got him on speaker for last Sunday. That's when it was. And Ronnie was sharp. And Doug Ligham used to be the driver. Doug Ligham, he financed everything. He financed a stock car. And Doug Ligham owned Ligham Chevrolet, his father did, over in Baltimore. He had two Chevrolet dealerships. Doug was a Jew. And I was in the pit crew and with Ronnie. Ronnie built the motors. And Ronnie said, I can't believe you called me. Ronnie saved. But at one point, he thought he lost his salvation. Ronnie got so, and then he tells me, I said, how are you doing, man? What's going on in your life? He's all, preacher, Alan, I just spent $90,000 on lawyers because I'm going through a divorce. I'm going through doing this, doing that. And he's telling me all this. And I said, Ronnie, would you come up to revival? Are we having revival in August? Would you come? He goes, Alan, I promise I'll be there. I promise. I said, you promise? He said, yeah, I promise. I said, okay. I said, you good for your word? He said, you know I'm good for my word. And I want to see Ronnie get in. I want to see him get plugged in. I want to see him get closer to God. I talked to another guy this week, and he gave money to the church for our revival. He never comes. But I called him up. He said, I want to give you some money for the revival. So he sent a check, put a check out there in the mailbox for the revival. And I said, man, are you saved? He says, well, I don't know. He said, maybe you talk to the good man upstairs, and maybe the big man upstairs will let me in. And he's 80 years old. And I said, do you care enough about going to heaven that you'll sit down with me for a few minutes? And I said, and you can guarantee you'll go to heaven? I guarantee if you do what the Bible says. He said, really? I said, I've told you this before. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, okay. He said, today. When? I said, next week, Monday night. Y'all be praying, God save this man. Look at here. We're going through verse by verse here. He says, holding forth the word of life. I mean, man, we got the word of life in our hands. This is the most important thing in all the world. You know, the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You got something in your hands more powerful than any atomic bomb ever made.
Amen.
It's more powerful than anything man ever made. This word that can change a man from the inside. Give him life. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundant. Give him life. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Are you living it? We act like it's not real. Christians do. They act like it doesn't have no power. The Bible says the word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us that. It's powerful. It can change a man's life. I just watched it. What's his name? What's the guy we've had come here preach? Hangs around. Brother Grady. Bill Grady just went and had an interview with the Son of Sam. How many of y'all know who the Son of Sam is? This guy killed 7 women. 6 or 7 women. I mean, mutilated. How many of y'all remember that? Remember that? Bill Grady was in the prison. This guy, he just gave an interview. He had got saved. He said, what? Can somebody that bad, that wicked, get saved? You know what? Paul was a murderer. Paul had Christians killed. You read the book of Acts. Paul held the coats of those that killed Stephen. He said, that don't sound fair. I've had people tell me, that ain't fair. That ain't fair. Why a man live a good life and then that doesn't do what you say. I said, not what I say, what Jesus said. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the guy says, that don't seem fair. And a guy like Son of Sam gets saved and gets to go into heaven. See, I said, here's the key though. Jesus Christ is the one to die for everybody. I don't care how bad, how good. But what happens is, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. What happens to a person? They think, well, I'm good enough. I can go to heaven on my own. No, you can't. You can't go to heaven on your own. And Christian, we got the word of life in our hands. He says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. He's saying, I'm willing to give myself completely, sacrifice myself for Jesus Christ. You know, that's what they do in Islam. Islam, and they're in a false religion. They're sending their little kids in with vests on to kill themselves, and they're probably dying to go to hell. Matter of fact, they ain't no probably about it. They're going to hell. They're teaching their kids that, you know, if you kill people, and it's a religion of hate. When people try to tell me that God is not love and God doesn't care about me, I say, look, man, God's already proved his love. You got a religion of hate that's going around telling people you kill Christians and Jews, you get to go to heaven and you get to have 70 women and all this other stuff. Anytime a religion starts saying using a sex thing as a door to heaven, that's a lie. You got to have 70 women. Come on, man. Can you imagine 70 women in the same kitchen? God have mercy. But my God, man. When you know what Jesus Christ did? He said, I come that you might have life free. It's a gift. You're sitting here this morning, you're not saved? Say, can I've had people tell me, in prison, I'm too bad to get saved. I've preached to guys that murderers and everything else got saved. And he said, I'm too bad to get saved. I said, look, man, the worst sinner ever was already got saved. His name was the Apostle Paul. And I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who your grandfather, grandmother. I don't care if you were, you know, from Jesse James or whatever. You can still get saved. It makes no difference. He says, yea, and I have offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For this same cause also ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know of your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. He's talking about Timothy as a son in the faith. He's saying, man, Timothy has a like mind. You know what? If everybody got on the same page as Christians, if we all got on the same page and had a mind that we want to serve God, we want to see people saved, and we start praying. I heard about a preacher said he went to South Korea, and he was over South Korea, and he was showing around. They say the largest Christian churches in the world right now is in South Korea. And South Korea is on the peninsula of North Korea, and North Korea is threatening to blow them to pieces. And this guy said he went in the back of this big old church of Korean Christians. Years ago, it was Ralph Sexton said this. He said he went there, and he said he got in the back, and he said he thought he'd get to the church early on a Sunday evening. It was like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And he said he walked in, he thought somebody had died because the whole church was still full and people were all over the floor, everywhere, crying and begging God. He said, he thought maybe that was a funeral that happened. Somebody died. So he said, he asked the interpreter, will you go stick your head in there, see what happened, see what's going on. And there were thousands of people in this church. And, huh? It was 6 in the morning? I'm sorry. I thought it was the afternoon. 6 in the morning. So he said, thousands of people were inside. He said the interpreter stuck his head in there, and he said he sat there and listened for a little while, and then he brought back out, and he goes, my God. He said, you wouldn't believe what they're doing. He said, well, what are they doing? He said, those Koreans were crying and begging God for America. They said this, if America goes down, then they go down. South Korea goes down. Israel, all the other free nations. He said, they'll go down. In America, our kids and our generation being wiped out. Drugs, man. A whole generation's being wiped out. You think the devil ain't real? Got them preoccupied. You know what the Bible says in the last days? 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own self. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. There's more Christians out of church this morning doing other things. They don't care about praying. But I'll tell you what, when their child gets sick, or their baby gets sick, or the grandbaby gets sick, boy, they'll call everybody in the world want them to pray. But they don't want to be accountable themselves. They don't want to stand up and say, I'll pray. I'll pray for our country. I'll pray for our young people. I'll do something about it. Why we have vacation Bible school? Why do we have camps for the kids? Why we do all this stuff? Brother Tommy, Miss Anna runs the Middler's camp, Brother John and Miss Holly. And why do we do all that stuff? We want to see those kids have a chance. Amen. Our church, they said, your church is all about kids. Yeah, we're about kids. We're about adults as well. But I'm going to tell you what, we want to see the kids have a chance. Yeah. All those little kids come on the bus route, man, you don't know what they're going home to. Drugs and drinking and molestation and all that stuff. My God, we got the word of life. Amen. In our hand. We don't do nothing about it. All we do, I'm going to get that boat. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. Yeah. I'm nothing wrong with things. But if that's your goal in life, just to have them, you haven't prayed for a soul. You haven't prayed, God, give me a soul. When's the last time you said, Lord, give me a soul? I'm praying for souls. I want to see more people saved. I want to be personally responsible for showing somebody how to be saved. So I don't know how to show somebody how to be saved. Man, we'll show you. We'll show you. It's easy. What are we doing about it? Paul said, I don't have nobody like-minded. I mean, folks, people come to church. It's just, I went to church. I did my part. Put a point up for me. Got me a point. It ain't like that, man. It says, who I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. When's the last time you cared about it? The Bible says, look to every man for others on their things. When's the last time you cared about somebody else other than your family? I was telling the kids this morning about JR. That boy called me up. I went down to North Carolina, picked him up, took him to Pensacola, and make a long story short, the kid was a bad kid. Every time they gave him a Bible, he threw it out the window of the bus. He didn't have no shoes, none of that stuff. And Joe and Ken helped him and their families while he was in Bible school. And that boy, while he came home the first year, and he was up on the platform, and I walked in that Sunday to preach and said, "You preaching today?" I walked in. It was a big church. I walked in, and they had JR day. JR was sitting on the platform. First year, he hadn't even graduated. He just made 1 year. Just 1 year they made. They were so excited about it because they didn't think the guy would stay. During that year, that summer, his father shot and killed his mother. Shot her in the foot. These guys know. And then shot her in the head and her brains all over the wall. I get mad at Christians. I shouldn't. I get mad in my heart. I said, "God, forgive me." I have, because the Christians, man, you've never been through hardly anything, and you're ready to quit. And this kid, he calls me up crying, telling me his dad shot his mama. And he said, "Preacher, I'm going to kill my dad. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him." And I said, "JR, you can't. He's not saved. He needs to get saved, JR. JR, he needs to get saved." And JR said, "I'm going to kill him." He's wiping the brains off the wall. He's in their house. He's crying and wiping the brains off. He's, "I'm wiping my mama's brain." And he's crying. And I'm praying with him out loud, crying. And then he goes to the jail and sees dad. He pulls up to the jail and he says, "Pray for me, preacher. I'm going to see my dad. Pray I won't get mad and you know, get mad at him." And JR goes in, leads his daddy to the Lord. Amen. Now, the boy graduated from Bible school. He's still serving the Lord. Man, what's your excuse? He said, like-minded. You care about people? I had a guy pull up yesterday. Again, gave me his name. He works at Metalwoods. It's a mental institution up in the hospital up there. Brother Jim was here, and Jordan was here with me. And the guy come down, he said, "Man," I asked him to see if we could get in there to try to help people. He said, "They won't let you in." He said, because it's an insurance deal. He said, "They won't let you in." He said, "But if you'll give me Bibles, I can take them in." I said, "We'll do that." He said, "If you give me tracts, I can take them in." I said, "All right, good. We'll do that." And he said, he was so excited that he seen our kids up there on the street holding up signs. He was so excited about that. I'm going to tell you something. The world needs Jesus Christ. Amen. And you know, Brother Eric, again, this morning was talking about sober-minded, preaching about sober-minded. We all got problems, folks. We got the Tuck family here. Brother Ron was saying, "Pray for the Van." No, it's the Tuck family. They just found his daughter, their daughter, yesterday, dead, 40-some years old. They're here this morning. Folks, people going through troubles. People going through problems. A lot of times you think you're the only one. No, you ain't the only one. But if we can keep like-minded, we're going to serve the Lord. I mean, there's going to be some carnage on the way on. But I tell you what, we can still serve God. We'll get through and get home. One day we'll be able to rejoice with the Lord. "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." When's the last time you cared about people? Look what the Bible says. Look what Paul's saying. He said, "For all seek their own." Everybody's about themselves. That's just generation. Somebody showed me it's a video on millennial missionaries. It's hilarious, but it's true. These people want to go be missionaries in Aruba. They said, "Well, we went on our honeymoon, the wife and the husband. We went on our honeymoon in Aruba, and we were there for 3 months, but we only want to go 3 months, but we need $10,000 a month. Will you support us? We're going to witness to the scuba divers." And at the end, he told me when we was going to scuba diving, he told me to take my cross off I had around my neck. I said, "No, in the name of Jesus, I will not do that. It's a persecution." And she starts going off, and he goes, "Oh, what, honey, you got to take it off. You're going to choke if you don't." And he goes, okay. And so then at the end, she's answered the door, and he's saying, "Please help us for $10,000 a month. We'll be your missionaries." And she comes back. She says, "Oh, we only can be 3 months because my hair in the rainy season gets all frizzy, and I can't be here. So we're going to go to the wine connoisseurs out there in California, and we want to go out there for a couple months. And if you would, support us." And she answers the door, and there's room service. She goes, "Oh, room service." Then she says, "Oh, I didn't order that. I wanted more caviar." And she starts, you know, it's funny. But that's the way Christians are. No man like-minded, for all seek their own. Everybody's looking to be top dog. Everybody wants to be top dog. Woo! Woo! God have mercy. And nobody will do anything unless they get recognition for it. You got to pat me on the back. I thank God for the people we got in church at work. I'll go by and pat them on the back anyhow. I'll go by and thank you. Hallelujah. What a blessing. They're not doing it for me. Paul's saying, every man seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. For you know the proof of him that is a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Brother Eric preached on the four gospels this morning. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it will be with me. Paul's writing this from prison. When you read the book of Philippians, it's a prison epistle. He's saying, we're going to see what happens with me, but I'm not turning my back. Why was he in prison? Because Rome hated the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the ones who killed Jesus Christ. But the Jews gave the authority. He's writing from prison saying, we're going to see what happens to me, but Timothy cares for you. He says, I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. See, that's the thing, folks. It says fellow soldier. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? That's what Christians looked at themselves as, soldiers following Jesus Christ. And what a soldier does, he takes orders. And the Bible says he's not his own. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Once a Christian gets a hold, what he did for me and everything he did for me and boy, what he expects from me, he's not going to make me do it. Christian, God's not going to make you do anything for him. He's not going to make you. It's got to be your will. It's got to be your will saying, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to put you first in my life. Like the Ten Commandments says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I'm going to put you first. I want you to have everything, every control of everything. And if you do that, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Be ready. Be ready. You'll watch God multiply things. You'll see miracles in your life. I'm not talking about like Earl Roberts talking about. You'll see miracles. Just like that little boy that gave Jesus Christ his lunch. And he watched when Jesus Christ prayed over it. And then he stuck his hand and started passing out. And they took up 12 baskets full. If you're sick and tired of that roller coaster, you're sick and tired of that thing, you said, I just want to get on the right plane. I want to see the Lord do some miracles. I want to see God save some people. I want my life to count for Jesus Christ. I want my life to make something for his glory, for the kingdom of God. Boy, I tell you what, that's what Paul was saying. He says, a fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that he had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. For I sent him therefore the more carefully. He says, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that ye may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord, and with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death. He was working himself to death. That's where it came from. That's where that term came. He's working himself to death. Said, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me. Chapter 3 says, finally, my brethren, this is final. He said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. I mean, folks, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you're walking with the Lord, it's just, you can't help it, man. There's a joy that comes over you. And that's called the fruit of the Spirit. When you have the Spirit of God has control of your life, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, before I was saved, I was a hater. I hated people. We saw last night on the news where all these skinheads or white supremacists, KKK or whatever it was, I think that's what it was. They were all in Virginia, started a whole bunch of stuff. And people, three dead, 20 wounded. I don't know what that was all about. I didn't get to see it all. But I had somebody text me about it and said, you seeing this? And that's hatred. That's hatred, man. You know what ISIS is? Hatred. You got a bunch of, you got enough hate in this stinking world. There's enough people that hate. And the devil, I'm gonna tell you something else. The devil hates you. And the Bible tells us God hates some things. And I'll tell you this, God hates a proud look. God hates those that sow discord among the brethren. There's some things God hates. You need to get on page with God. Whatever the Lord hates, you need to hate. Say, Lord, help me not to do it. Help me not to have a part of it. These people got down there, got rioting, got people who got killed, and there's no joy in their life. I mean, man, when's the last time you woke up and you had a song in your heart about Jesus? When's the last time you woke up and sing them? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You want strength in this life? It's going to be joy from God. It comes from above. Amen. There's nine fruits of the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, there's nine fruits. And three of them are inward, three of them are upward, three of them were outward. Man, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Paul said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me indeed is not grievous. He said, it doesn't bother me a bit. He don't care what you think. He knows the truth. When you know what works, I mean, folks, look, when you know something that works and you're trying to tell somebody how it works and they say, no, I'm good. And they don't know what they're doing. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You want the joy of God in your life? Man, you want to be able to rejoice evermore? Get lined up with him. Get hooked up with him. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And to write the same to you is indeed is not neat, grievous, but for you it is safe. Safe. 44 times in your Bible, the Bible tells you to rejoice. 44 times. And then 7 times in the book of Philippians says rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. We spoke, you come in here on Sunday morning, I watch people sing. And I watch people, some of them just looking around. There is no rejoicing. There's no joy. You're looking around, seeing who's here. And you know, I see some people, they're singing with all their heart. Man, they're rejoicing. And they seem like they got victory. He said, well, they ain't got nothing. They ain't got no trouble. Some of them do. Some of them carrying a heavy load. But they've learned, man, if I put my trust in him, he'll take care of it. And I can rejoice in the Lord always. It says, then it tells you in the next verse, it says, beware of dogs. Again, Eric talked about dogs out in the world. You know what a lost man's like? He's talking about a dog returning to his vomit this morning. You know what a lost man, if you're here today, you're not saved, the Bible says you're just a dog. I had a guy I worked with. He said this to me. His name is Jimmy Mitchell. And Jimmy says, I kept saying, you dirty dog, you dirty dog. He said, what do you call me a dirty dog for? I said, because the Bible says a lost man like a dog. Then he had the thought. He said, what does the Bible say about women? He went home and told his wife what I said. She got mad at me. She's a nurse down at Kent General. She got mad at me. Every time I seen her, she wouldn't even look at me. She got that mad at me. But I explained to her, finally went to the house, I explained to her what happened. And she goes, oh, Jimmy didn't tell me that. He just said, the preacher said you were a dog and you were a pig. Because a lost woman is like a pig. So he said, he went home and told his wife, he said, the preacher said you were a pig. I didn't say that. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision, those that cause and division. It says, for we are of the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And look what it says. Have no confidence in the flesh. You can't trust this. I can't trust this guy. See this guy right here? I can't trust him. This guy cannot be trusted. But if the new man is running things from inside, I can be trusted. You can't be trusted if you're just living off this. If you're living the new life, you can be trusted. If you're trying to walk in the Spirit, you can be trusted. Dave White came to church here. He walked in, and he came up to me. He says, how do you keep your wife happy? And I thought, I don't know. Ask her. It was only a couple people here. Miss Nunn was here. And he said, he walked up to my wife and said, how does your husband keep you happy? She thought he was some kind of pervert. She was getting ready to punch him in the mouth. She said, he said, how's your husband keep you happy? She said, I said, answer him. She said this. She said, long as I know he's living for God, long as I know he loves the Lord, I can trust him. Yeah. Folks, have no confidence in the flesh. If you'll live for God, you can be trusted. I was a thief before I got saved. I mean, I stole transmission out of cars, stole wheels out of, off of dealerships. I took trucks out there at night and stole all the mags off the, when the Z71s came out, or the Z28s, I mean, and all that stuff. I went to Lustine Chevrolet and jacked up about, I didn't jack them up, I just dropped them on blocks. Took about 20 cars, wheels, I couldn't be trusted. I stole all kinds of stuff. So you should be in prison. Well, I was. I went to work for a company, multi-million-dollar company, roofing company. Guy wrote a check, signed it. He said, Alan, put that in your wallet. I put it in my wallet. He said, anything you see that we need, whatever it is, we trust you. Buy it. From a thief. God. You know what I can do? I rejoice.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
You all trust me. Amen. Every year we have our business meeting. This church trusts me. I think in our constitution I'm not supposed to spend more than $500. I've spent $20,000-$30,000. Bought it. Without nobody saying, just went ahead and did it, and everybody trusted.
Amen.
I get up in front in business meeting, I say to the church, thank you for trusting me. It means a lot to me. I want to be trustworthy.
Yep.
I want you to know that, hey, I know the preacher's going to do what's right.
Amen.
In this stinking world where everybody's doing something with their own thing, preachers running around doing all kinds of crazy stuff, stealing, robbing. I was that before I got saved. I don't want to be that after I'm saved.
Amen.
Why? I don't want to bring reproach against him. If you're here today, you're not saved. We're just going through the Bible, verse by verse in Philippians. I was going to preach on revival this morning. But do you have any joy in your life? Do you have any confidence in God? Is your walk right with God? If it's not, you can get it right. If you're here today, you're not saved. Today is the day. Today would be a great day for you to get saved.
Amen.
God can change your life. The son of Sam gave his testimony that he had trusted Jesus Christ. He said, I deserve to die, and I hope they put me on, you know. What the guy is, he's saying, I'm in my right mind now. I'm sober. I deserve to die. I should die for what I did. Say, well, I've just been too bad. No, ain't nobody that's that bad that can't get saved.